Well, amen. I appreciate Brother Barton be here. I also appreciate, you're going to have a fit without this, Brother Jack Bird being here tonight. His daddy went home to glory this afternoon. And his daddy was a good guy, good dear folks. His mom, get this, his mom passed away exactly 7 years ago today, within about an hour difference of his daddy. And his daddy was 96. He was skiing in the Colorado mountains up until about 3 years ago. He started skiing when he was like 60. And then he kind of went all the time. And just a dear, dear man. And just a sweet, sweet guy. And he had just been a real encouragement to me since I've been in town. And in fact, I met Jack about 7 years ago. He's back here running sound tonight. And I met him about seven years ago when we had his mama's funeral in here. And so I just appreciate him being here very much. He's a good, faithful servant. Servant is the key word. I'm going to pick on him again. He joined the church, and the very first Sunday he joined the church, he happened to be walking down the hallway, and we only had this building at that time, and my wife kind of poked her head out the door just for a second, and she kind of had this, I guess, help me kind of look on her face, and this is his first day as a member of the church. He just joined the church, and one of her kids in her Sunday school class had lost their breakfast. And she was trying to figure out, she had her kids, didn't want to leave her kids, and she said, well, what can I do? And the guy took care of it. That's the kind of servant guy I appreciate Brother Jack is. And don't let him know, get a head swell. But I just appreciate him so very, very much. He's just a dear, dear man. Well, we also have the privilege here of having Dr. Ms. Glenda Barton here with us. And Dr. Barton has been in the ministry for a long time, 40-some years he was in the ministry. And I don't know whether you were someplace. Where were you for Festus, Missouri?
Crossville, Alabama.
Alabama. And you're going to find out real soon he came from Alabama. And I met him when he was in Festus, Missouri, a Second Baptist church, great church. Built a great church there. And then the Lord led him to Greenville, North Carolina. And took a kind of a smaller church, one of those churches where the school kind of wags the tail. And in fact, I think for a little while he was wondering if God really knew what he was doing when he sent him there. And a few years into it, things changed and broke loose. And by the way, when God sends you someplace, he knew there was going to be a problem before you got there. So make sure you know it's where you're supposed to be and then go. Now, if he leads, I mean, not because you're getting itchy and you feel like you got to go someplace and don't want to deal with the problems. You go someplace, going to be other problems. But, you know, for these young folks who may be thinking about going to ministry, whatever, you know, when God leads you someplace, stay there. God is already there. And he knew all the problems that was going to be there before he sent you. He didn't say, oh, my soul, I didn't think about that. I got a message that I've done a few times here and there. I did it here. It's called, Is It a Red Sea? You know, when the Israelites got backed up to the Red Sea, and there was a mountain behind them, and the Egyptians coming up in front of them, and the Red Sea over there on the other side, God didn't bring around the corner and says, shoot, that's where I put that thing. You know, God didn't say, oh, man, I messed up. No, he knew exactly. And didn't put it there on purpose to show his power. Yeah, he did. I'm sorry. I haven't been able to preach in a couple days. Dr. Barton, you come and give what the Lord's got on your heart. That's what we're supposed to hear tonight.
Appreciate well, you're glad to be here. Would you say amen? Did you enjoy Brother Joe Arthur's message? If he could just get his southern accent down, he would really be good. Everybody been around here been talking about my southern accent. I told him it wasn't a southern accent, it's a heavenly language. And when you get to heaven, everybody's going to talk like this. I have the accent. Joe has the terminology. I don't have the southern terminology that he has, but I praise the Lord for that preaching. Amen. He has the biblical teaching, does he not? Amen. And I agree with every word that is said. Open your Bibles tonight to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. What a joy it is to be here, to hear the music. Thank you, other churches and pastors who have come in to be with us. And I pray that you will, I ask that you pray that we get no snow. It was 75 degrees today in Panama City where I live. And the sun was raining a little bit, but the sun will shine tomorrow and it'll be more than 75. And to be honest with you, I'm freezing to death. So, those of you that physically can stand, would you stand, please, for the reading of God's Word? And I'm going to read some passages, bring the message that God's laid upon my heart this evening. Can you imagine Brother Sterling following Joe Arthur to preach? I mean, what a task it is. I've been in many services with him, but I've never had to preach after him. I begged Brother Sterling to let me preach first. But tonight he wouldn't let me do that. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore, we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Heavenly Father, thank you for the spirit of this service, for the music that has lifted us up, for the message of Brother Arthur tonight, dear Lord, that has thrilled our soul and made us to look forward to the day, dear Lord, that we shall see you face to face. Now, dear Lord, I want to be a blessing to every person. I want to be a blessing to the pastor. I want to be a blessing to everyone that came this evening. Mostly, I want to be a blessing to God the Father in heaven and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you'll use me to that end. And Lord, if there's someone here tonight that's not saved, God save them. If there's someone here tonight discouraged, I pray that you would stir their hearts. Remind them, dear Lord, of the promises that you've made them, that you're able to fulfill, that you certainly will do that. And God, encourage their heart. We'll give you the praise because we've asked it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. And you may be seated. For many centuries, people of Europe stood on this on the western shore, and they stood out and they looked at the glistening waters of the Atlantic Ocean. And they stood there on the Atlantic Ocean on the coast, and they wondered. They wondered if there was anything out beyond the horizon. For you see, the scholars of that day had taught them that if you went far enough into the sunset, that you would fall off the earth. They believed that there was an end out there. And with that belief, Spain had an inscription upon their coin that was written in Latin, ne plus ultra. Ne, no, plus, no more, beyond. That's what the hopes, that's what the beliefs, and that was the attitude of the people of Europe at that day. There was no more beyond. But in 1492, there was a man by the name of Christopher Columbus, who got on his sailboat and started westward. The people stood there on the shore and they watched him as he sailed into the west and wondered what was happening to Christopher Columbus. As they stood there, they stood with no hope whatsoever, for they had been taught a very dismal story that yonder is the end and you can go so far and no farther. And they stood there and they waited and they waited. When time had elapsed and Christopher Columbus was coming back, they saw the sailboats coming. They ran down to the shore and they got so excited and they were going crazy to think that those sailboats were coming back. And when he got back on shore, he said, there is a world out there that you never imagined. There is a new world of great potential that you've never seen. For those of you in Pennsylvania, it's like coming on the eastern shore of Florida and you see sunny beaches and sunny skies. And there Christopher Columbus said, hey, you have never seen it like it is over there on the other side. And the very thought that he made it and came back caused a world revolution. You see, there was a change. Now those people who had no hopes had great hopes. Those people who were discouraged were greatly encouraged. And the leader of Spain took those coins that said, nay plus ultra. And he had the word in Latin, nay, taken off the coin. And it just said, nay plus ultra, more beyond. Ladies and gentlemen, when I read the fifth chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians, there is no terminology that I know that would fit the description of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 like plus ultra, more beyond. For you see, as Brother Joe has reminded us tonight, there's a whole lot more. There's more than we have time to talk about this evening because God has promised us things and we will realize those wonderful things. This change in philosophy when Christopher Columbus came back affected the revolution of the world culture. And here, as the Apostle Paul writes this church, he says there's more beyond. But in order to understand the more beyond philosophy of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you have to look back at chapter 4. And when you look at chapter 4, it comes down in chapter 5 in verse 1, and he uses the word for, meaning that we go back and he tells us some things in the past in the other chapter that describes or explains what he's saying in chapter 5. We'll go back to verse 8 and we see what the Apostle Paul was talking about. He says, we are troubled on every side. Can you imagine living in a world that's troubled on every side? But to be honest with you, ladies and gentlemen, we live in a world where we're troubled on every side. The Bible tells us that man that is born of woman is a few days. And what's the word? Full of trouble. Full of trouble we are. And Paul says we're troubled on every side. I pastored a church for 46 years and I know what it is to be troubled. But not like Apostle Paul said. He says I'm troubled on every side. Troubles in front of him, troubles behind him, troubles on the right of him, troubles on the left. He was surrounded by trouble. But I want you to see his attitude in the midst of all of this trouble. He says, troubled on every side, yet not distressed. There was something in the life and the makeup of the Apostle Paul, regardless of all the trouble that he had, he was not distressed. Read on, and he says, we're perplexed. Now, to be perplexed means, man, you just don't have the answer, and we don't sometimes. And the Apostle Paul, as he writes, he says, we are perplexed. Sometimes we don't know all of the answers, and we don't know what to do. But he says, I am not in despair. He says in verse 9, I am persecuted, and people were out to kill him. They tried to destroy his reputation, and yet persecuted. He said, but regardless of all that, Brother Joe, he says, but I'm not forsaken, because he knew that there was a promise that had been made to him, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Then he says, I'm cast down. And that means maybe, possibly, a depression or discouraged. His spirit was cast down because of certain things, and he says, I'm cast down, but I'm not destroyed. Now, what made the difference in the Apostle Paul's life? When he was troubled but not distressed, perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. The answer is found in verse 14. For there it is, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. You see, that was the hope that he had. Every one of us that are Christians tonight, we live a life of hope, do we not? The Bible says in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, when the message went out to those individuals that had suffered for the Lord Jesus Christ, 18 times suffering or derivative of suffering is used in the book of 1 Peter. And he says in chapter 1 in verse 3 that God hath begotten us unto a living hope. Those of us that are saved tonight, we have hope within us. Because Romans chapter 5 and verse 5 says, and the hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost of God, and we live with hope. When Paul writes to Titus in chapter 2, he talks about our great salvation in verse 11. The grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared unto all men. He teaches us about our great education in the next verse, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Then he teaches us about the great expectation. For he says, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who loved us and died for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. You know what the Apostle Paul was telling young Titus? He says, Titus, there's more beyond. There was problems in the church. In fact, some of them were called liars. He said they were trying to preach false doctrine and they were doing it. And Titus really wanted to leave Crete, but Paul said, you just stay there. It's very needed that you stay there because we have the blessed hope. We have hope of greater days ahead for us because of God's eternal word. And so we see that. When the disciples heard Jesus Christ said, it is expedient that I go away. Nevertheless, I will not leave you comfortless, he said. I'll send the Holy Spirit. Well, when the disciples heard that Jesus made the statement that I'm going to go away, did you know their heart began to be broken? A friend that they walked with, a friend that they had been with, said that he was going to go away. They didn't fully understand that. But Jesus Christ came to the rescue and he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know what Jesus was saying to the disciples? There's more beyond. More beyond, something like you've never dreamed of, something that you've never have been able to comprehend. There's more beyond. Those same Christians that I mentioned earlier that Peter writes and says that we're born, that God has given us a birth into a lively or living hope. He tells us in the next verse, verse 4 of 1 Peter chapter 1, to an inheritance that fades not away that is reserved in heaven for us. Hey, you can't get better odds than that right there. When God says, I've put hope in your heart, I've put you into a life of hope, and I'm giving you an inheritance that fades not away. That's there. Hey, listen, that's not the end of it. Because the next verse, verse 5 says, that we are kept by the power of God into salvation. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, he has given us hope in our heart, and we live with hope in our heart because we have an inheritance over there, and until we get there, he's keeping that inheritance over there. Until we get there, he's keeping us over here. For he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's more beyond. In fact, the excitement of the encouraging words of the New Testament urges us to go on because there's so much more. Joe's message tonight was a reminder that there is so much more. And so he goes on to say this, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus. That's hope enough right there. That as he was raised, you shall be raised also. But he goes on to say this in verse 15. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. That's what keeps us going. There's a hope. There's more beyond. But though our outward man perish, this old body, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And he goes on to say, for our light afflictions, that's the problems that we have, that's those troubles that we have, those perplexities that we have, those persecutions that we have, those times of being cast down that we have, he says, those light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. What is he talking about? He's talking about more beyond. Now let's get to our text, chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. What would be the elements of the more beyond life? Well, it's very simple. Look at verse 1. He says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were designed, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." God's got a new home for us and a new body for us to live in. Paul closes chapter 4 speaking about looking at those things that are not seen that are eternal. And here he continues the train of thought in this portion as indicated by the first word, "for." These things, "for." What he shares with us, he knows. Isn't it wonderful that the word "know" is a good Baptist word? Aren't you glad that you can know? Well, preacher, I don't know if you can really know that if you die, you're going to go to heaven. The Apostle Paul pretty well knew it. "For I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." It was not the fact that arrogantly I say no. I say no because of the power and the presence and the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he says, we know. That's the more beyond life. That if this old body is dissolved, we have a building not made with hands. Going to be a new body. Hey, isn't it wonderful? Hey, I'm at the age that I'm growing older. And every morning I get up and say, "This is the day that the Lord has made. And thank the Lord for being the Lord and for giving us ibuprofen." Narrow bodies, they get worn out. When I read that text, I don't think about me, I think about my mom. Because my mom suffered and suffered and suffered and suffered. Very few days that she ever lived the last 5 or 10, 15 years of her life that she was not in pain. But she died. The moment that the day that she died, she was healed of her pain. And I think about that body of hers that was attacked by rheumatism, arthritis, or whatever you call it. She always called it rheumatiz. She went to the doctor, and the doctor said that she had arthritis, and she came back and says, "Well, I thought I had rheumatism, but the doctor said I had arthritis, but no matter what you call it, it hurts just the same." And I think about the new body that my mom's going to get. Up from the grave he arose, and he's the first fruit of them that slept. And when we are raised from the dead, the Bible says, "Yet we do not yet know what we shall be, but we do know when he doth appear, we shall be like him." Oh, praise the Lord for this, the promise of a new body. He goes on to say this, "For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven." And he goes on to talk about it here in this temporary place. He calls it a tent, and a tent is just something temporary. That old body that you're living in right now is just a temporary body. I don't care how much trouble you have and how much perplexity you have and how much persecution you have and how much you're cast down, that old body is just a tent that someday is going to come to a close, and we're going to have an eternal home in heaven, not made with hands. Praise the Lord for the new body that God's given us. But there's a second element of this more beyond life, and that not only is the promise of a new body, it involves the pledge of the Holy Spirit for us now. Because verse 5 says this, "Now he that hath wrought us," I like that word, wrought. That means he performed something in us. You see, my salvation didn't come about because of something that I did, something that I performed, and something that I deserved, and something that was I merited. You see, he hath wrought for us the same thing in God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. You know why you enjoyed a while ago, Brother Arthur's message? So is because the Holy Spirit was in your heart if you're saved. And he encouraged your heart because we have the earnest of the Holy Spirit in our heart now. And the Holy Spirit in our heart encourages us when the Word of God is preached. And even when we go through perplexity, the Holy Spirit is there. Say, don't stop. The Holy Spirit is there when we're forsaken and reminding us that He will never leave us nor forsake us. Why? Because God has promised those things to us. And here it is. It involves the pledge of the Holy Spirit now. Hey, isn't it wonderful that the Holy Spirit lives within us and He guides and directs? Glenda and I got out. I told Brother Sterling, don't worry about us today. We'll take care of ourselves. And when it came dinner time and I got hungry, I said, let's go down to the country buffet. We walked in and there was two men in front of us in line. It was a little after lunch and the crowds had dispersed somewhat. And there was two men just in front of us. And they were at the cash register paying for their bill. And so we waited and waited and waited, and she had to change whatever they were doing there. And so I thought there was something wrong with the credit card or something, and they stepped away, and we stepped up, and I says, two, please. And the lady says, your meal has already been paid for. I said, what are you talking about? My bill has already been paid for. She said, those two men that stood here just a moment ago paid for your bill. They didn't know me. They were from Pennsylvania. They didn't know me from Adam's house cat. They paid for my lunch. So I went over there and sat down. I walked over there where they are. They were about 400 pounds apiece. To be honest with you, being for the Alabama Crimson Tide up here in Pennsylvania, I didn't know if somebody might attack me if they found out that I was from Alabama. And these big guys, I walked over and I said, sir, you bought our lunch today. I said, why did you do that? He said, well, I saw you come in and the Holy Spirit just told me, praise God for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit just led me to pay for your lunch. And I said, well, sir, I really appreciate it. I said, I'm a Baptist preacher. I've been preaching for 56 years. I pastored churches for 46 years. And I'm over here at Dover preaching this week. And he says, well, I happen to be a Baptist preacher myself. You know, I thought about that. Hey, isn't it wonderful the Holy Spirit leads us? I don't care what Joy Barr on The View says. He speaks to us. The Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is there bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And He says, I have given us the earnest of the Spirit, which is a down payment already that we know that our inheritance is going to be kept till we get there. When my dad died, he didn't have very much money. He'd worked all of his life, and he farmed, and he worked at the Goodyear tire plant in Gadsden, Alabama. I always said that he worked at the Goodyear plant to pay off his farming debts, but he farmed so that the kids would have something to do, and man, I was taught to work and before the day of tractor in the Barton family. And as I thought about my dad and all that he, when he died, we started thinking about the inheritance that we got, and My dad had not accumulated money. Everything that he got, he spent on his family or something. And my mom was still living, and there was a little bit for her. But all that I got out of my father, the inheritance from my father, was the family Bible and my father's fiddle. My father was an old country fiddler, and I had it. But I don't know how to play it, but I had it. I thought about some folks, when their parents die, leaves them millions of dollars. But I didn't have much of an inheritance. But I want to tell you, folks, if you're a Christian tonight, you have an inheritance that's reserved for you in heaven that is richer than anything and anybody has upon this earth, because there's nobody on this earth going to take anything with you up yonder. And you better have an inheritance over there. And you know, how do I know that? Because the Word of God says so. And the Holy Spirit, the earnest of the Spirit within me, bears witness with the truth of God that this is what God has done for me. There is the pledge of the Holy Spirit of God. Praise the Lord for that. Romans chapter 8 and verse 23, not only they but ourselves also which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. But there's more about this life of more beyond than that. I want you to look at verse 6 and 7. Therefore, because we're getting a new body, and therefore the Holy Spirit lives within us, therefore we're always confident. That's just like that word know in verse 1. He says, therefore, we're always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. And so here it is, as we think about in verse 6 and 7. We're confident. Verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. You see, more beyond life gives us something to enjoy in this life. Hey, isn't it wonderful being a Christian? I don't know anywhere that I'd rather be tonight than to be right here. To hear the message that I've already heard. To hear the singing that I've already heard. And experience what I felt when they were doing so. Man, I'm glad to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But here in verse 6 and 7, we are confident knowing that while we are home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. And here, this more beyond life builds our faith for the present hour. Coming over here, Brother Arthur was sharing that somebody told a lie on him and on his family. I won't tell you what the lie is, but they told a lie on him. And I said, oh my, if I thought about all the lies that had ever been told on me, I could write a book about the lies. Someone says, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names never hurt me. There's no truth in that. I've been called some names, man, it hurt, Joe. But I wanted you to understand, ladies and gentlemen, because of that Holy Spirit within us and our faith being resolved and the truth of the Word of God, that this is not the end. There is more beyond. We keep going. For the just shall live by faith. For without faith it is impossible to please Him, but two things you've got to believe. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him, because you must believe that He is, and I believe that He is. On Easter Sunday this year, we Christians are going to get to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and the same day, the atheists are going to get to celebrate April Fool's Day. I'm telling you. Isn't it wonderful? What a day in America when all the Christians are rejoicing. He lives, He lives, He lives, and the atheists are singing, He's dead, He's dead, He's dead. Never alive. There's no such thing, they say. Oh, listen. Hey, the Word of God builds your faith up. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Isn't it wonderful now that we have the Holy Spirit that tells us the truth is in the Word of God? And so that is the persuasion of our faith now, because of the more beyond life that helps us. But look at verse 8. We are confident. I like that word. You can say, I am confident, because the Scripture says here in verse 8, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Can you imagine being present with the Lord? Oh, yes, we're present with Him a lot on this earth. In fact, He never leaves us. And we sense His presence. But we don't see His presence. But when we see Him, and when we're in His presence, we shall see Him. What a day that will be when our Savior we shall see. When we look upon the face of Him who saved us by His grace, what a day, glorious day that will be. And verse 8 says to be absent from this body, in verse 1, is going to be dissolved, but to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. What a day that will be. Someday we shall see Him. There was a little boy that was born blind. He lived 12 years of his life blind and never able to see. He grew up 12 years of age like normal kids, but he never was able to see. There was a doctor that said, there's a surgery that we can do now that we believe that your little boy can have his sight if the surgery is a success. So they agreed to do the surgery. Came time after the surgery, there was a waiting period. The little boy's head and eyes were bandaged with bandage. And the doctor said, tomorrow we will remove the bandage to see if the surgery has been a success. The mother talked to the little boy the night before about the possibilities of him seeing or not seeing. And she said, son, if the surgery is a success, what is the first thing you want to see? Is it the ball that we've got for you, that we pitched to you? Is it the green grass that you've rolled and tumbled in on outside in the backyard? Is it the beautiful flowers that in the springtime that you have smelled, the beautiful aroma of the flowers? Is it the sky and the birds that fly in those white fleecy clouds that we've told you that is up there in the clouds? What is it, son, that you want to see? The little boy, 12 years of age, with great wisdom, says, Mom, if when they remove the bandage from my eyes and I can see, the first thing I want to see will be the hands of the doctor that gave me my sight. And I think of the more beyond life. Someday, when we get to heaven, we'll get to see the hands of the doctor that gave us the sight, the Lord Jesus Christ. I was lost and undone without God or His Son, and He reached down His hand for me. You see, ladies and gentlemen, He has done it all for us, and someday we shall see Him. A couple years ago, I went down to Alabama, went out to the old cemetery where my granddad was buried. And there, I took pictures of the tombstone and where my grandmother was buried, and where their little baby was buried, and when my aunt was buried, and my uncles was buried, and everyone in the cemetery, I took pictures of the tombstone. My granddad, he was a tall, lanky guy. I guess I take much after my granddad, and I loved him. He lived next door to us when I was growing up. I love my granddad. My granddad worked in a chair building factory, and he got his fingers cut off, two or three of his fingers cut off in a saw in a carpenter shop. And every time you saw him, you saw that old nubby hand that he had. The next time I see him, I believe that hand's going to be restored, but I want to see my granddad again. But my granddad never did anything to me, for me, like Jesus. I want to see my Savior first. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, to see Jesus. I did not see him when he was born, and they wrapped him in swaddling clothes and put him in a manger. I wish I could have seen that. I did not see him when he was 12 years of age that he referred to a while ago when he was talking to the doctors of the law. I would like to have stood back in the back and just heard what Jesus had to say to those, but I did not hear that. I was not there when Jesus Christ came over the crest of the hill and John the Baptist said, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. I wish I could have been there, for I would have heard God from heaven say, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. I did not see that. Did I not see him when he walked down the road and he met a funeral procession and he touched the coffin and that person in that coffin came back alive? I did not see that. I did not see it when he touched the eyes of a blind person and that blind person received his sight. I did not see that. I was not there when he stood in front of the tomb of Lazarus. Lazarus come forth and Lazarus came out of the grave. I did not see that. I was not there when he went down to the Via Dolorosa and he stumbled and fell and Joseph of Arimathea helped him with the load of that cross, and he went to the cross of Calvary, and there upon the cross of Calvary, he died for the sins of the whole world, and he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I did not see and I did not hear that. I was not there the morning that he was raised from the dead. I believe it because the book says so, but I wasn't there to see it. I praise the Lord that there were eyewitnesses that saw him after he was raised from the dead. And we shall hear them in eternity tell about the wonders of the resurrection and the ascension into the heaven. And I was not there when he was speaking to 500 people at one time. And while he was speaking to them, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And they stood there as you would stand there looking up into the heavens to see him go away. As Joe said, this same Jesus is coming back. I did not see that. But someday I shall see him. What a day that will be. When I do see him, I will see him not as a crucified Savior up on the cross of Calvary. I will see him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Son of Righteousness. Ladies and gentlemen, my Savior, I shall see him once more. You know what thrills my soul tonight? It's because of the more beyond now, I'm excited now that someday out there I shall see him. Now, hasn't it been wonderful to look at all these things about the Morbihan life? Now we see the Lord Jesus Christ, and it says, because of that, look at verse 5, or verse 9. All of these things that God has given us. In verse 9, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. All that He has given us, we go with the motive today that everything that we do in light of the more beyond life and all that He has for us, we labor to be accepted by Him. When I started pastoring churches, I was 21 years of age, and so much did I want to please every one of my church members. You know how it is, Brother Sterling. You don't want anyone to be disgruntled at you because you love them so, and you want to help them so. And really, when I was 21 years of age as a pastor, I thought, everybody's going to love me. I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to visit the sick. And I have done that, Brother Joe. But I soon learned, being a pastor, that everybody did not like me. I guess sometimes they didn't like me because of my ways. I don't know. I hope I've not turned people off just because of my attitude or whatever. I wanted to please them. But Brother Arthur, I never did please all of my church members at all of the time. But I want to please Him. And because of the more beyond life that God's given me, that this is not the end. I'm not standing here bewildered as they were standing on the shores of Europe looking out and wondering because of the scholars saying that there's nothing else, nay plus ultra. I stand there with hope. Hope. That maketh not ashamed, because we have the more beyond. This is not the end of it. Oh, what a day that will be. When my mom that I told you about died. She died in the University of Alabama Hospital. She had the same doctors that operates on all of those Alabama football players when they have injuries to their legs. He operated on her. And she did well after her hip replacement surgery, and she got up and walked, but a few days in the hospital, she had a stroke unrelated to the hip replacement. She lay there unconscious. The doctor said, we're going to have to take her off the machines now. Y'all have to make a choice to do something with your mom. It broke our heart, to be honest with you. Because my mom says, do the best you can to never put me in a nursing home. And that's a good place for some people have to go. And mom just says, I'd rather not go. Y'all do all you can to keep me out of the nursing home. And that was our intent. We didn't have any other course. So my younger sister got out and started looking on that Monday afternoon at nursing homes to put mom the next day. But the next morning, my wife, my other sister, and myself was in the room with my mom, and some was standing on one side, maybe my wife and my sister on the other side, and I was standing on this side of the bed, and we were holding her hand, and she was breathing her last few breaths, and we started singing. Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the sky. The words will not come to my mind now, but it was the song of the unclouded day, and it was very clouded that day. And my mom took her last breath and she died. The more beyond life that God has given us is that someday, for the dead in Christ shall rise first. Why? Because I am the resurrection and the life. If a man believe in me, he were. I am the resurrection and the life. If a man believe in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And living and believing in me, he shall never die. I got a text the other morning of a former youth pastor. It was one of my youth pastors for about 10 years, Brother Steve Curry. His mother-in-law died over in Ohio. I received a text from Brother Curry's father-in-law that morning. Jenny went home. Isn't it wonderful? She didn't just pass away. She went home. You know what's so wonderful is the more beyond life. We live for God. We serve Him because there's more, so much more. As we think about all that God has done for us, this should be our prayer. Lord, of the years that are left to me, I give them to Thy hand. Take me and break me and mold me to the pattern that Thou hast planned. Heavenly Father, I preach the message that You put upon my heart tonight. And I pray that Christian workers have been encouraged. That all of us, dear Lord, have been reminded that the persecutions and the troubles and the trials and the disappointments of this life is nothing to compare to the more beyond life that You have prepared for us in glory. This time of invitation, when Brother Sterling comes to invite folks to come to the altar to make decisions, dear Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will draw folks and will make that certain in their heart to keep serving God and to never faint and to never quit and to never stop, because You have provided for us a more beyond life. In Jesus' name we pray, and for His sake and glory, amen. Let's all stand, please. Brother Sterling will come give an invitation.